Praise the Lord. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Trusting that you're all doing well tonight. Let's try to sing an old song. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling home. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling home. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My Savior calls, I will answer. When He calls for me, I will hear. When my Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when He calls me, if my heart is right, I will. Always. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. We want to remember the saints that are at the youth camp. We're praying and that the Lord will visit them, and we pray that the camp will be a blessing to our young people and also even the older folks that are there. Amen. People invest a lot of time driving in these camps, and we certainly want them to be a blessing to our people, that they may be filled with the Holy Spirit and be equipped for the journey that lies ahead. When I remember Sister Rachel Coffey, who is not feeling well, and as well as, is it Miles? Yes, so when I remember them, and other folks, men of people tonight are traveling. That's why you have a spare tire for a song leader. We searched and tried to find a song leader. So I had to do a very short crash course on leading songs. So we want to definitely remember the service and the song leader in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. We know that it's your presence that makes a service. We come to church to worship. Lord, it doesn't matter, Lord, if the codes may not be exactly right. The keys may not be perfect. The songs maybe may not be the best that we think we are identifying by our natural ability. But Lord, we are trusting that your Spirit is leading us. For Lord, we know that you do not look at the outside, neither do you look at, Father, our efforts, but Lord, you look at our hearts. We pray that you will be with us tonight, Lord. We are committing the song service and the preaching of the word into your hands. We are asking, Heavenly Father, that you may come, Lord, and just be with us, Father, as we finish the year and enter into another year. We are asking, Lord, that you send your angel, as you said in your word, that you, my angel shall go before thee. Father, we are asking, Lord, for your blessing upon the young people that are attending, the youth and the brothers and the sisters. May you visit them, Lord. May you nourish them and feed them with your word. May you convict them, Lord. Fill them with your Spirit and give them your power. We thank you, Lord, as you remember Sister Rachel and Miles, who are not here tonight, and many folks that are streaming. Some are traveling, some are in different places, Lord, with the cold weather. We are asking for your blessing, Lord, and your protection. Bless the church and bless the pastor. We commit the time into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Richard Smith has a special. So we'll sing a chorus and then we'll have him come over and sing. There is none like you, no one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for eternity, Lord, and find there is none like.
Saw you come out there, I thought maybe we had a different preacher than what you was going to be tonight. You were all dressed up. So I was surprised when you came up. I'm sorry, brother. I love you. I appreciate you so much. love all you folks very much. And I want to sing my favorite song, Fill My Way With Love. If they'll bring it up on the screen for me, maybe I can see it. I got a little, here it is, okay. Let me get right here. I can see it real good. when Brother Diggs was last time he was here, he had a message on the inside man. And it touched my heart so much that it made me want to try to have the inside man show more on the outside. And that's the way I want to try to live the rest of my life. And I've tried to live it that way. And so, but anyway, I want to do it more and more. And don't be surprised if when I shake your hand, I'll tell you I love you, because I sure do love everybody. I have the Holy Spirit in my life, and I'm so thankful for it. And God bless you all. I guess this is my mouth don't get too dry, and voice don't break up, but we're singing a joyful noise to the Lord here. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Feel my way. Savior and guide, let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Yes, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go song and smile. Feel my way every day with love. Soon the race will be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Feel my way every day with love. Yes, feel my way first, please. Soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Feel my way every day with love. Feel my way every day with love. As I
amen. Feel my way every day with love. And reminds me of Sister Smith, you know, how she would send a message on a birthday. Or I could forget my wife's birthday, but not Sister Smith. So we certainly appreciate the Lord for that wonderful singing. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. All right, we'll sing this song as we call the the deacons to come forward, and then we'll go straight to the word. What key is it? I bless your name. What key is it? I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the Lamb, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the life, the truth. Stand to a reading of the word. Thank you so much for bearing with me with the song service. Next time we're going to try Brother Daniel to lead songs. Psalms chapter 124 verse 1. Thank you so much, musicians. Psalms chapter 124. I always appreciated our song leaders and Brother Jaron, but tonight I have a special appreciation for them. 124. All right, if you have it, you can say amen. Amen. All right, the Bible reads, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us and then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. May the Lord add a reading, blessing to the reading of the word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this sacred part that we are entering tonight, opening and reading your word. Lord, we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Lord, we ask for your blessing, Lord. Father, may you hide our weaknesses in the cleft of the rock and speak your word to your people. We commit now this time into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You may have your seats. For a title this evening, we want to talk about Now May Israel Testify. And we get this title from Psalm chapter 124. And I like the scripture that, you know, the part that says, Now May Israel Say. Amen. It's amazing how when the Psalms were written, I tell you, friends, whenever you are down, read the Psalms, you know. If you're feeling low, if you're feeling down, the Psalms are always in season. It's just something that you can read and it just encourages you. Whether you are happy, the Psalms make you happy. You rejoice, you praise the Lord. When you are down, when you're going through something, the Psalms are just so perfect and wonderful. And I like this one because it says here that Now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us. Obviously, they mention men a lot because, as you know, Israel is a natural church. And Israel, being a natural church, they have a natural land. They have natural battles. They have, for the most part, natural enemies. Amen. But for us, our battles are not flesh and blood. But we wrestle with principalities, with dominion, with powers of this dark world. And as we conclude 2025 and we go into 2026, no doubt tonight many people, you know, they've bought a bunch of fireworks. That's great. Many are, you know, I had a business meeting in the afternoon, and I was talking to this gentleman, and he says, you know, my kids are all grown up, and so tonight, maybe around 10 p.m., I'll just get a bottle of champagne with my wife. I said, well, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. if I'm not in the house of the Lord, I'll try to read a scripture, pray, you know, do something. But, you know, so we realize that it's a junction, right? Coming from another year to another year. So people approach junctions differently. And you find many, many accidents, they happen at junctions. Some, they speed their way through the junctions. Some, they slow down. They look in front of them. They look behind them. And I feel like that's always the best approach when you are approaching a junction. Whether it's a two-way stop, five-way stop, six-way stop, you always want to slow down, look back, reflect, look where you're going. Praise the Lord. Amen. So reading this psalm, the Bible here is saying that if it had not been the Lord on our side. You know, sometimes we are always, you know, bombarded with problems and requests and, you know, in our daily lives. But sometimes it's worthwhile to consider what the Lord has done throughout the year. And as you read this scripture, you know, the Bible says if it wasn't for the Lord, then we could have been consumed. You know, it's a psalm of reflection. You know, it's a psalm that, you know, when you come to the end of the year, you look back and you say, you know what? There was a time when I was really sick and I went in the hospital. I could have died, but guess what? The Lord was on my side. There was a time when the job situation became so bad and I could have lost everything, but the Lord was on my side. You know, you could look back, you know, a few years ago we had a hurricane, right? Many people died. Innocent people died. You know, houses were destroyed. Homes were destroyed. Something that has never happened, you know, in many, many, many years. But guess what? You are here tonight because the Lord was on your side. You know, sometimes we always think about, you know, things that we have lost, but we don't sit down to read many things that the Lord has given us and many wings that we have received. You know, one song says, count the blessings, count them one by one. It will amaze you what the Lord has done. Amen. So sometimes, you know, as the psalm says, let Israel now say. Sometimes, you know what, it's good for God to say something. Sometimes it's good for the minister to say something. But God also wants Israel to say something. You have to say something about the things that God has done in your life. You know, there may be times where you felt like, you know what, I could have lost my children. But I still had them. Why? Because the Lord was on my side. There was a time, you know, this could have happened. I was involved in an accident. I could have died. But you know what? The Lord was on my side. There are hundreds of people that died tonight. There are many hundreds of people that are in a hospital tonight. There are some on the ventilators tonight. There are some who are battling their life tonight. But you are here because of the grace of God. And because of the grace of God, you ought to testify and say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the Lord that was on my side, I could have perished. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you, you know, lost your jobs. You went for weeks and months without a paycheck, not knowing how am I going to make it. But you know what? God came through and helped you. That was the Lord on your side. Some of you went through depression. Some of you went through the lowest of valleys, wondering about life, wondering about decisions, about things in life. Why did I have to go through this? Why do I have to face this? But you know what? You came out. and you overcame because the Lord was on your side. You might not have seen it, but he was there. You might not have known it, but he was there. The Lord was on our side in 2025. And I have no doubt in my mind that in 2026, the Lord is going to be on our side. I don't care how bad things became. I don't care how hard things became. I don't care how, you know, how many, you know, adversaries we had to fight. But the Lord was on my side. That's why I'm here tonight. That's why I'm in church tonight. There are so many people who left the Lord. There are many people who have gone back to the world. There are many people who have gone back to drinking. There are many people who have gone back to Egypt. But you are here tonight, despite your problems, despite your situations, because you know what? God is on your side. We lost our loved ones in 2025. And you know, some of those things, you can never, as Brother Barry was saying, you can never Google some of those things. You can never Google losing a loved one. You can never Google, you know, losing a child. You can never Google losing a husband, a wife, a spouse. You can never Google losing a job or losing a business. Those things, you can only understand them when you go through them. But guess what? You are here tonight because the Lord was on your side. Yes, you walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but the Lord was on your side. Some of you got bad doctor's reports. And you thought, you know what, I'm going to die. I'm going to perish. I'm going to go away. But the Lord was on our side. I think of Brother John Howell. Amen. He was pulled by under a vehicle in a motorcycle. We could have lost Brother John. But he's here tonight playing drums. Why? Because the Lord was on our side. I was talking to Sister Anna back in the office. And she says, Wells is doing great. Now he likes to talk. You know, he doesn't have to worry about, you know, an upcoming appointment or surgery. I said, you know what? The Lord was on our side. The enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I said, the Lord was on our side because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered out of them all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's how you want to end the year. You want to reflect on what God has done for you. You know, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. So the purpose of the light of the firmament of the sun and the moon was to divide the night from the day. Because God is a God who likes to divide things. He likes to separate light from darkness. That's why our message is a separation message. It's a message that separates us from the world. It separates us from denomination. It separates us from our tradition. It binds us close to Jesus. And the Bible says, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So God gave us the sun, the moon, not just to give us light, but for us also to be able to number the days, to know that the day has passed, the season has passed, the week has passed, the month has passed, the years has passed. And that is very, very important. Because you know what? Time is a resource that God gave us. And it's a limited resource. Time is not an infinite resource. Otherwise, it would not be time. The only thing that is infinite is eternal. So time is actually a dimension. It's something that God gives us. And all of us, we have a limited time here on earth. Whether we know it or not, we have a best before date. We may not see it, but it's there. We are pages of a book. Some are big books, some are little books, some are you know, very long books, some are middle books. But you know what? All of us are books. And being books, we have a story. We have a purpose. We have a life that we live. There is something that God has given to each and every one of us. And many times the devil does not want us to think about time. Remember when I told you the other time that when you go into a bar, one thing you will notice, I hope that you never go to a bar. If you go to a nightclub, right, you will never see a clock. They don't put a nice visible clock that people can see. Because you know what? The moment you become conscious of time, you start to worry about going back home. I have to go back home. I have to go back to my kids. I have to go back to my children. I have to go back to my wife. You know, but the devil doesn't want you to think about time. And today people are drinking. Some are smoking cigars. Some are toasting bottles. That's fine. But guess what? What does that all mean? If we say this is the end of a year, we are coming to a new year, what does it mean? It's not just, you know, rolling time, rolling seasons. It has to mean something. And the world does not know what it means. You know, the business analysts, they'll sit down and try to make predictions for the year. Some will start to make resolutions for the year. Some will start to sign up for gym memberships. Not a good idea. Because you will waste money without using it. Amen. But if you can do it, go ahead. You know, some will say, you know what, I'm going to lose weight. People start to write resolutions. That's great. Because you know what, there's something about a new season. It makes us to think that, you know what, a new season has to bring something new. And indeed, when God brings a new season, he brings something new. Amen. When he brings justification, he brings a new message. When he brings sanctification, he brings a new message. Because God is the one that set the boundaries. And he's the one that sets the seasons. And God does these things in his season. And he says, a tree that is planted by the rivers of water shall bear fruit in its season. Because God works by seasons. This is why we're not preaching the Old Testament teaching of Moses. Because we are not in the season of Moses. We are not building acts right now, physically speaking, because that's not the season of acts. We are preaching the message of the hour because we realize the hour that we are living in. So for you to recognize the message, you have to recognize the time. Because if you recognize the message and if you don't know the time, it doesn't make you any good. And if you recognize the time, like many people realize, you'll be surprised how many people know that we're in the last days. Go on the internet, go on YouTube. People have a sense of nervousness. That's why you have a proliferation of conspiracy theories. Because people sense that, you know what, we are being lied to. Something is not right. You know, we are heading for destruction. People can sense that. Politicians can sense that. People are apprehensive. They know that something is not quite right. They recognize the time, but they don't know the season and the message for this time. But you and me, God has given us grace to realize that we are in the last days. That's why God sent us a message. Amen. Hallelujah. So the days and the seasons were given by God for his own purpose. God is the one that created time. So because God created time, therefore it follows that he's the one who has to give a purpose. And nothing can ever happen unless God allows it. You know what? We could have discovered computers 3,000 years ago. But you know what? It wasn't the time. And God never allowed it. People will say, oh, you know what? Einstein was a genius. God allowed Einstein to look at things that he looked at. Because the time had to be here in the last days. They could not have invented self-driving cars 1,000 years ago, because it was not the time. But now the time has come. And the Bible says signs shall increase, knowledge shall increase. Now we are coming up with AI, with autonomous things, and you know, many things that are happening in this world. Why? Because the season has come. At the same time, you see that Israel is going back to her homeland because the season has come. The bride is also recognizing who she is because the time has come. So I'm saying this to say that when we come from one year to another, don't just take it casually. Obviously, celebrate, praise the Lord, coming from one year to another. But also reflect about your life. Reflect about your choices. Reflect and thank God for what he has brought you through. Look ahead to where you are going. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise he shall bless the children of Israel. One thing I want you to see is that it's God who is speaking to Moses. And he's saying, tell Aaron. Was Aaron, remember in Israel, they had Levites. Now the Levites were all the sons of Levi. All the sons of Levi were called Levites. But among the sons of Levi, because Levi had, you know, not just one son, right? He had quite a couple of sons or a few sons. I can't recall their names off the top of my head, right? And from those sons, there were different groups in the sons of Levi. There were Kohites. I think there were like three groups, right? The three sons of Levi. I have to go back and read. So among the sons of Levi, there was one family that was chosen to be priests. And that family was the family of Aaron. They were chosen to be priests. And God said, so you have Levites, that's the broader group, people who serve in the temple, people who serve in the things of God, bringing sacrifices and doing all kinds of things. But then among the Levites, there were the sons of Aaron that were priests. So the priests were then sub-selected from the Levites. The priests were then responsible for doing the work inside the tabernacle. The Levites could work outside, help the priests, but they couldn't do certain things. It was only for the priests. And then among the priests, God also made another sub-selection. And he would choose the firstborn of Aaron. He would be called the high priest. Now the priest could serve in the tabernacle with incense, with everything, but only the high priest could enter into the holiest of holies. Amen. So you have Levites, you have priests, and then you have the high priest. This is why sometimes, you know, people get the Bible confused. Just like the song leaders. Song leaders are in some ways Levites, because they also serve in the tabernacle. But their scriptural requirements are different from priests, maybe the people that minister. Those have a stricter requirement because they are priests, right? But these ones are also serving the Lord, people who play music. You know, you could be a Levite, but maybe not necessarily a priest. And then after the priest, now we have the high priest, Jesus Christ. But here in Numbers, Moses is giving a commandment. And he's saying, say unto Aaron, in other words, the priest, the ministers, the fivefold ministry, on this wise you shall bless the sons of Israel and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So you know what? The Bible, yes, you know, we like to rebuke, but there is also a commandment by the Levites to bless the congregation of Israel. And tonight, as we reflect on 2025, and as we go into 2026, I want to apply this scripture and bless you as the church. And say, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. And the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And God bless your families. God bless your businesses. God bless the works of your hands. It's a commandment upon the sons of Aaron to bless the congregation of Israel. And to apply the name. Because you see, God works by principles. Because you know what? Even ourselves individually. You know, when we meet one another. Come here, brother. Yes. We say, God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. You know what? We say that, and we take it casually. But guess what? By saying, thank you, by saying, God bless you, you are actually pronouncing a blessing upon your brother. Amen. You are actually pronouncing a blessing upon your sister. We take it casually, but you know what? It has an impact. And the prophet says that the best thing you can say to a brother is, God bless you. So among ourselves, when we greet one another, when we come to church, make it a point. Don't just rush to your car. Of course, unless you are rushing somewhere. Greet someone and say, God bless you, my brother. Because you know what? You also, as a royal priesthood, in your own right, you may not be a minister, but you are also a royal priesthood. You are also blessing Israel. You are also blessing God's children. You say, God bless you, my brother. I hope you have a wonderful new year.
God bless you, my sister. That is how we bless each other. Amen. I might not know what you're going through. I might not know your specific situation. But you know what? If I say, God bless you, and I mean it with all my heart, God will honor my words. Because words have power. We tell our children, don't curse. That's what we tell our children. And if you don't curse, guess what? Bless. Don't curse, bless. Say the nicest thing you can say to a brother. Bless the brother. Bless the neighbor. Bless your enemies. Say something good. Good morning. God bless you. Have a happy day. Have a good new year. We are not just saying those things to be nice. We say those things because we mean them. Amen. And the Bible says, I will bless those who bless Israel. You are the Israel of God. By blessing you, I also get a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, Brother Aaron, how is 2026 going to be? I don't know. I'm not a prophet, and I don't need to know. But one thing I'll tell you is God bless you. May God give you health. I say, may God give you health. May God give you joy. God give you peace. God give you strength. God take away depression from our midst. God take away sickness from our midst. We are pronouncing the blessing of God upon the flock tonight. People are tossing bottles of champagne, but we are pronouncing the blessing that is in the Bible. People are saying, oh, yip, 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 hooray. We are saying, you know what? God bless you, my brother. God bless you for 2026. Whatever you have need, whatever is in your heart, may God prosper you and bless you and give you desire of your heart. If you want children, may God give you children. Whatever you want, may God give you and may God provide for you. Now, these are scriptures that have been abused by prosperity ministers. But they are still scriptures. And there is a place that we apply them. Divine healing has been abused. But guess what? We still pray for the sick. Because you know what? God is a healer. God is a healer. Something may be abused, but doesn't mean it's no longer scripture. It's still the scripture. Marriage has been abused. But that doesn't mean we're going to cohabit and not marry people. We'll still preach the gospel. Marriage is honorable among all. Yes. Some will say, oh, no, brother, you know what? It's an old institution. You know what? The Bible is never old. The Bible is fresh every day. Yes. The prophet says here, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 7. I'm watching my time. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devoid in your presence. It is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard and as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And here the verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left them unto them a remnant, we should have become Sodom and would have become like Gomorrah. You know, Israel, they sinned. How many knows that? When Israel sinned, God destroyed them. God sent them the destroyer to destroy them. That is why Israelites are called Jews today. Because right now they don't know, most of them, which tribes they belong to. Because, you know, God sent the Assyrians among them when they disobeyed. And the Assyrians would have wiped out the whole country of Israel. Because God was not happy with Israel. And some, they ran. Remember, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the south and the north. Judah was a kingdom, and then the other 10 tribes, their headquarters was in Samaria. And they were also a kingdom, right? They were brothers, right? But they were destroyed by Sennacherib. And the few that remained, they ran to the cities of Judah. Because when Sennacherib came in the time of Isaiah, and in the time of Hezekiah, he could not utterly destroy Judah. God could have wiped all of them away, but you know what? He kept a remnant from the cities of Judah. And Isaiah said, unless the Lord had left us a remnant, we could have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. We could have become wiped out. But God made us a remnant because he was on our side. That's why they all fled and they all went to Judah. That's why you find that most of the people in exile, they were just called the children of Judah. The children of Judah. until up to now, it's just called Judaism. Because the Jews, most of them that remained were from the tribe of Judah. And the tribes that escaped, they escaped to the cities of Judah. Until, you know, they thought, you know, everyone is just Judah. So up to now, the prophet says no one knows which tribe it is. So that's when the name Judaism came from. Because they went into exile, they were just called the children of Judah. They were all called, you know, Judean Christians, right? But guess what? Even though God was not happy, yet he left them a remnant. And tonight, God may not be happy with denominations. God may not be happy with the church. God may not be happy with what's happening in the world. But you and I, we are a remnant that God has saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's because God was on our side. Tonight, there are mega churches, I say this with respect, that are inviting musicians from Hollywood to play and entertain people in church. Something that we thought would never happen in the face of the earth. But because we are in the last day, that is happening tonight. But you are not in that mess. Why? Because the Lord was on your side. And God gave you eyesight to see clearly. Hallelujah. God always leaves a remnant. You and I are the remnant tonight. Now the prophet says, he's preaching his New Year's message on 12 January. He says, now my text this morning is an old word, shalom. Shalom in the Hebrew means peace. That's what I said to the church this morning, shalom. That's peace. The prophet is saying, my New Year's message to you is peace. And we read in Numbers where Moses said to Aaron, tell my people, God give you peace. And the prophet is giving his New Year's message and he's saying, I'm saying to you, shalom. And may I say also tonight to you, shalom. Amen. 2026, shalom. Amen. And he says here, in Finnish, it's called Jumilan Ruha, which means God's peace upon you. See, God's peace, shalom. And he says, my New Year's message is to the church elected in Jesus Christ for 1964. Not just the church religious groups, but the elect lady of the church, Christ's bride. See, that's the one that I'm addressing. And he says, the two scriptures rather have a very contrast. He's reading from Isaiah. One of the other, Isaiah says, arise and shine, for the glory of God has come upon you. The light is here. Then the next verse says, gross darkness is upon this earth. The Bible says, darkness shall be upon the earth, and gross darkness shall be upon the people. So these are two contrasts. So the prophet is saying, to one group he's saying, arise and shine, for your light has come. But on the other group he's saying, there shall be darkness upon the earth and gross darkness upon the people. That this forecast, you can take it and put it in 2026, it's still going to be true. The world will continue becoming evil and evil. The world is going to become darker and darker. The people are going to have more and more darkness. The politicians are going to be more and more confused. But upon the church, the prophet is saying, shalom, peace be with you, because your light has come. So the world will go into darkness, but you are not part of that darkness, because your light has come. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Aaron, how shall 2026 be? You know what? It's going to be more darkness. Because as we are approaching the coming of the Lord, it's going to get darker and darker. The people are going to become darker and darker. There will be more wars in the Middle East. There will be more mass shootings. There will be more political violence. There will be more drinking. There will be more gambling. There will be more smoking. It will get more and more. But what about the church? It's going to get lighter and lighter. It's going to get lighter and lighter. So we are not looking at this. We are looking at that. Don't watch the news. Because the news will tell you, oh, people are going to lose their jobs. Oh, the AI is going to take your jobs. That's darkness upon the earth. But unto you, the prophet says, shalom. Peace be with you. God will fight for you. God will feed your families. God will give you health. Guess what? Things are going to go bad. There will be political instability. This may come, this may go, this may die, this may come. But unto you, God is saying, my peace be upon you. So look at this bright side. Don't look at this side. Look on the bright side. And the bright side, God is saying, thy light has come. You walk in that light. And you shall not walk into darkness. Whatever idea you have, set it before the Lord. And say, Lord, in 2026, I want to achieve this. Commit your ways unto the Lord. And he shall establish them. Don't look at the news forecast. Look at the Bible forecast. And God is saying, shalom. And yes, see, we are facing this year with both darkness and light. And he says the world is one of the most chaotic times of darkness, and it has ever stood in. And yet it's standing in again, the most blessed light that it had ever shined. It did shine here. So the prophet is saying the world is the greatest of darkness, but the church is the greatest of light. Amen. But sometimes the devil takes our eyes off the greatness of the light and he wants us to focus on the darkness. Oh, look at what the Democrats are doing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what are the Republicans going to do? Oh, what's going to happen with this? Oh, look at signs. Don't worry about that. Those are signs of the times. The Bible, Jesus Christ said, I've told you these things ahead. When you see these things come to pass, look up. For your salvation draweth nigh. If you are a message believer, you should not be surprised by AI. Because the prophet said, science shall be advanced. That was the general prophecy. And then he will give you an example. He said, so much so until I saw a car. And people were in a car playing checkers. And there was no steering wheel. The cars were driving themselves. And what do you need for cars to drive themselves? You need supercomputers. The reason why cars have not been allowed to drive themselves for the most part in the roads is because a human has almost instant processing. But now science and computers have become so advanced that the supercomputers, they process things almost at equal speed, actually greater speed than humans. So we're approaching a season where computers are most likely going to be more reliable and more reactive than human beings. So AI chips and AI computers, they're advancing science. Artificial intelligence is advancing faster than human beings can advance. So when Brother Branham says science shall increase, it means a lot of things. But he then just gives one example of a driverless car. So don't just focus on that. Look at the whole spectrum of science. Science shall increase. So when science increases, if you're a message believer, you say, you know what? Modern events are made clear by prophecy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible is far ahead than the breaking news that will come from on your screen. Now let's wind down. Now the prophet says here, when we cry out, watchmen, what of the night? He said, the night cometh, but the morning also. Remember in Isaiah, there's a scripture where Isaiah said, watchmen, what of the night? He says, the night cometh, but the morning. So the morning cometh, but the night also. The watchman was the man who would sit in a tower. And his job, because remember, in the Orient, Oriental times, they didn't have satellite and radars. Today we have satellites, we have radars. So we don't need watchtowers, right? Although we have Pentagon, we have all sort of, you know, technology to see what's coming, right? To know that, you know, there's a weapon coming our way. But back then they didn't have technology. They would literally build a tower on the highest point. Usually they would build a tower upon the wall of the city. And they would find someone with the best eyesight. I would obviously be disqualified because I wear glasses. And the man, you know, he would study the stars also to know what time it is, you know. First watch, second watch. And if something is coming, he would give a notice or ring the bell or give a signal that something is coming. And people would often ask him, "Watchman, what of the night? How far are we? Right? Are we closer to the morning? Let's say you have a sick child and the hospital opens in the morning. You go to the watchman and say, 'Watchman, how far are we until the day breaks?'" Because no doubt some people didn't have clocks back then, because that's technology that came years later, right? And the watchman would say, "The morning cometh, but the night also." And the prophet is saying here that this is a symbolism, that the morning is coming, the coming of the Lord is here. But you know what? The night also comes with it. And he says, because it gets very dark before the morning comes. And that is exactly where we are now. The world is becoming more and more dark. But that is also showing that the Lord's coming is close at hand. So the morning comes, but the night is also coming with it. So in 2026, the morning shall come for you. But guess what? The night is also there. So you should never lose sight of this. This is why it's important, young people, to stay in the presence of God. That's why it's important for us to stay with the Word. Because the morning is coming. The blessing is coming. The peace is coming. The shalom is here. The light is here. But the night is also coming. Hallelujah. God is blessing his people. But the darkness is also coming. People leaving the message. People criticizing the prophet. People saying all kinds of things. Making websites. People analyzing every statement. I was talking to a certain brother who called me up on the phone. And I said, I would never support someone who would make a full-time job to criticize another minister of the gospel. Even if I disagree with someone. Even if I disagree with Joseph Smith or with any minister, I wouldn't want someone to make a full-time job to analyze every statement that someone said and to analyze every mistake that someone made. That is just a wrong spirit. I may disagree with someone on their doctrine, on their teaching, but I don't want to be a troll to analyze every little word they said. That is just a wrong spirit. So before we even start, that shows you it's not the Holy Ghost. It's darkness that is coming upon the earth. But you know what? The light is also coming. Jesus is also dawning within our hearts. Think about how corruption is coming into the world with technology advancing, with all these things. But guess what? The bride is also moving closer and closer to the Lord. And I say to you, church, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of Sodom. Don't be afraid of science. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't fear for your children. Don't fear for your kids. Trust in the Lord. I say trust in the Lord. Again, I say trust in the Lord. You know the most common phrase in the Bible? Fear not. It appears 365 days. So you've got one phrase for a day. Fear not. Fear not. And if you rephrase fear not, it simply means peace be with you. Whenever Jesus would appear before people, he would say, peace be with you. Whenever angels would visit people, they would say, peace be with you. And tonight, as we go into 2026, I want to say to you, peace be with you. As we start another year, I say, peace be with you. Peace be with your families. Peace be with your children. Peace be with your health. Peace be with your heart. Because God is a God of peace. His name is called Melchizedek. He is the King of righteousness. And he's the King of peace. He is the Prince of peace. Whenever he comes, he brings peace. Don't be confounded. Don't be confounded. Don't be paralyzed by the headlines. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon the face of Jesus. I like Psalms chapter 34, is it? That says, those who look on him, they are radiant and they shall never be ashamed. If you look upon Jesus, you get a radiance and it gives you confidence. And you will never be ashamed. And the mighty men of David, the Bible says that they were men of war. And they were warriors. And their faces were like the faces of lions. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because they were looking upon him. They were not looking upon the government. They were not looking upon social programs. They were not looking upon the military. But they were looking upon him. When Peter was looking upon him, he was walking on top of the water. But the moment Peter started to look at the symptoms, he started to sink. And Jesus Christ said, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt in your heart? You should have kept your eyes upon me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus tonight. Turn your eyes off of social media. Turn your eyes off of CNN. Look at Jesus Christ. The prophet preached a message. Look unto me, ends of the earth. And he says, the world has ended a few times before. The Noah's world ended, right? And he says, each time the world comes to an end, God calls his people to look upon him. And now we have come to another end of the world. And God is saying, look unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. You know, it sounds simple, but it's hard to keep your focus on Jesus. You know, the prophet, when he saw the vision of the white rock, he said to the brothers, look, stay here until I come. Look upon the stone. Guess what? They never stayed. They followed him to the west, according to the vision. Moses, when people had sinned, he made a brazen serpent, and he said, if you look upon the brazen serpent, you shall be saved. If you don't look, you will die. And guess what? Some people died. Because it's easy to look out on something else. And today the devil has become so clever because there's just been a proliferation of algorithms to take people's attention. You know, whether it's gadgets, whether it's screens, whatever it is, you can't hardly do anything. If you're pumping gas, there's a screen. If you're in the restroom, some of them now have screens. You can't go anywhere unless there's a screen. Why? Because the devil is trying to get your attention. But God is saying, those who look upon me, they are radiant, and they shall never be ashamed. And they shall never be ashamed. And may I say tonight, look upon him. Look upon the rock of our salvation. Look upon the rock from which we were healed. Look upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look upon the God that created the stars and the moon. Look upon God who created time. Let's look upon him in 2026. I've tried to look upon men and I've been disappointed. I've tried to look upon nations. I've been disappointed. I've tried to look upon many things. I've been disappointed. And I say, Lord, I want to look upon you. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's look upon Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ said, look unto me. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. God doesn't want us to spend our days looking at games. There's a time for that. I'm not against that. God doesn't want us to spend our days looking at many other businesses of life. Sometimes you just want to look and gaze at him. There was a man who had a dream. He went to heaven. And the angel said, welcome. We want to give you a golden crown. We want to give you a nice robe. He says, don't give me no crowns. Don't give me no robes. And they said, what do you want? He says, where is he? I just want to look at him for 1,000 years. When I go to heaven, I love you, all of you, and I want to spend time with you. But guess what? I just want to look at him. I just want to look at him and just stare at him. Because when you look at Jesus, it changes you. Amen. When you look at him, not with physical eyes, but when you look at Jesus with the eyes of your heart. You know, it dawned on me when I was studying this week that the great men of the Bible, great men that wrote beautiful songs like, my soul has found a resting place. It is well with my soul. Any great song, you can pick any great song, timeless song. Most of them, they came to a place where they lost everything. And the only thing that they could do was to look at Jesus. There was a man called A.B. Simpson. He was sick. You know, he was a preacher. He tried this, tried that. Until, you know what, he came to realize, you know what, once it was a blessing, but now it is the Lord. Once I was searching for his gift, but now I just want the giver. Sometimes we come to a place where nothing else matters except him. Because he just wants you to look at him. You know, Job, for many chapters he was speaking. He would say, you know what, I did this, I fed the poor, I did this. He was trying to justify himself. He was trying to make sense of why is this happening to me? And Job went to debating, and as they were debating and reasoning and making sense, God was silent. And the Bible says, and the words of Job were ended. As soon as the words of Job were ended, Elihu spoke. And the prophet says he was a type of Christ. And soon after Elihu spoke, God came down. And he says, stand up, Job, I will speak to you. As soon as Job was arguing and trying to understand and stitching up things, why is this happening to me? I'm faithful. I come to church. I never skipped my tithe. I do everything. I've never defiled myself. Why am I sick? Why do I have to pay all these bills? God was quiet. But when the words of Job were ended, finally he looked upon God. Hallelujah. And God came down and he blessed Job and he spoke to Job and he restored Job. Because guess what? He realized that everything else doesn't matter. Amen. The only thing that matters is him. Amen. The only thing that matters is him. In 2026, the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes God takes us through deserts. You know, if you go in a desert, there are no pretty buildings. There are no great. It's not like Disneyland. There is no subway. There is no Jersey Mike. There is nothing in the desert. The only thing you see is Jesus Christ. That's where God took Moses. That's where God took Paul. That's where God sometimes takes us in our lives. He takes us in a barren place. When we come in a barren place, we look at Jesus. Then we see the burning bush. Then it changes our lives. Then we write songs like, it is well with my soul. If peace like a river attended my soul. Then we can write songs like, near am I God to thee. Like Jacob of old, he was leaning upon a stone at Bethel, but yet he saw the gates of heaven and the angels ascending and descending. There was a woman, as the musicians come, who was caught in adultery. And Jesus Christ said, let him who has no sin be the first to cast a stone. You know what happened? All of them left. And the Bible says, all of them left but Jesus and the woman. Sometimes, you know what? God wants us to come to a point where it's just me and him. Sometimes we get sick. Until the doctor can help you. The healthcare system can't help you. It's just you and Jesus. Sometimes you come to a place where your family may not understand you. Your husband may not understand you. Your wife may misunderstand you. But it comes to a place where it's just you and Jesus. Everyone leaves. It's just you and God. In 2026, I say, God, I want a deeper walk with you, Lord. I don't want to be taken away by the things that are happening out in the world. I want to keep my eyes focused upon Jesus. Amen. When Moses was in the presence of God, the Bible says his face began to glow and it began to shine until the children of Israel, they could not look at Moses because he had been with God. I don't want a natural glory. I want a spiritual glory. That does not fade away. When I come through Jordan, I want to have confidence that I am walking with Jesus. When I come through the dark, the deep valleys of the shadow of death, I don't want to fear any evil because I know that he is with me. When I come into 2026, I don't want to fear anything. I don't want to fear the headlines. I don't want to worry about my family, about my sons, my boys, my girls. I don't want to worry about anything. I just want to trust in Him. I just want to obey Him. And I say to you, church, tonight, may God bless you. God's face shine upon you. May God keep you and protect you. May the Holy One of Israel establish you. For all your faithfulness, coming to church 2025, through sunshine, through shadows, through the cold, may God bless you. May God remember you. God remembers. People forget, but God remembers. Everything that you do for Him, He remembers. Every prayer you made to Him, He knows it. Every service you attended, He knows it. Jesus knows all about it. Let's stand upon our feet. I want all of us to take a moment. In your own little way, in your own humble way, take a few minutes to thank God for 2025. To thank God for our blessings. To thank God for our trials. Thank God for pulling us through trials, temptations, valleys, mountains, snow, deserts. And we want to commit 2026 into His hands. I say, Lord, take my hand. Let me walk, blessed Lord, with you. I don't want to walk by myself. One singer said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
As we wrap up 2025, as we look into 2026, we've come this far, not by might nor by power, and we really appreciate God. We've gone through almost everything in our different lives, the high valleys, high mountains, the low valleys, and as the message has gone forth, that yet it not been for the Lord, we all could have been consumed. But here we are, looking ahead, looking forward, with great expectations in 2026. And we want to thank God for wrapping up 2025 with such an anointed message. And let's take Psalm 124 into 2026. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before the Almighty God. Dear Lord God Almighty, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, full of mercy and grace, we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We want to thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and grace. We want to thank you for the blood that shall never lose its power. We want to thank you, Lord Father God, for 2025. We thank you for your protection, Lord. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. Lord God Almighty, we experienced, Lord, different situations, Father. But Lord, here we are because you pulled us through, Father, and you gave us the victory, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord God Almighty, we want to thank you for the message you've given us this evening, Lord, about the priestly benediction, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the fivefold. We thank you for the message of the hour, Lord. Father God, we receive that priestly benediction that we so much need as we face 2026, dear Heavenly Father. May you be with our pastor, dear Heavenly Father. May you continue to lead him, to inspire him, Father, to break that bread of life in 2026, dear Heavenly Father. May you lead each and every household, each and every brother, each and every sister, Lord Father God, in 2026. May we grow, Lord Father God, in strength and in might of the Holy Spirit, Father. We want to live for you, Father. Lord, you say, Lord Father God, if there will be that gross darkness in the world, Father, there's greater light in the message of the hour. Draw us closer, Lord Father God, to that light of the message of the hour, Father. Let us stay under the sun that we be ripened up for the rapture, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God Almighty. May you heal the sick. May uplift the Lord, dear Heavenly Father. Those that could not be here, Father God, may you touch them wherever they are at, Father. We lift up all those that are ailing, Lord, in healthy, Father God. We've got Sister Tina, Lord. We've got Sister Rachel, Lord. Sister Carrie Woodlock, Father God, and many other folks, Lord, we pray for them, Lord, Father God, sending the word of healing, Lord, Father. May they say, had it not been for the Lord, would have been consumed. But here we are to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. May you be with our youth, Lord, Father God, and the ministers there in the youth camp meeting, Father. May your spirit flourish, dear Heavenly Father. I pray for every family, Lord. I pray for every believer, dear Heavenly Father. We commit our children to your holy hands, Lord. May you protect them, Father. We are influencing them, Lord, Father God, in the message, Father. But salvation and deliverance belongs to you, Lord God Almighty. May you touch our children, Lord, Father God. May you succor them, Lord, and protect them from evil influences of this world, dear Heavenly Father. Be with us in everything, Father. As we part going our ways, Father, we're going rejoicing, blessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, for everything, Father. With us in everything, Father, as we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to hold you. We'll sing one song and then we'll sing this song as we dismiss. I'm just going to slip away. I've got another service tonight. So God be with you and bless you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You are together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I to worship here.
slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave.
Someone as you leave and say, God bless you, my brother, God bless you, my sister. Pray for me as I pray for you. What do we say? Let's just sing that one as we go. To feel.